This is the Kratom Science Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gallagher, blog and social media writer for KratomScience.com, your source for all things Kratom.
My guest is Rod the Steelworker from Michigan. He agreed to speak with us last minute, and he wanted to remain anonymous. He was hooked on opiates for chronic pain, and he found Kratom to be a better alternative. This is Rod the Steelworker, and this is his Kratom story. So you're in Michigan?
Yep. Southwest Michigan, right by Lake Michigan.
Where are you from originally?
Northwest Indiana, right by probably 15 miles from where Michael Jackson was born.
Really?
Yeah, that's great. About the biggest name in the area. Or Orville Redenbacher. We're about 5 miles from where that started.
Oh, yeah.
Popcorn guy.
It's funny how, like, Michael Jackson, Prince, everybody's from the Midwest, all these big names. Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's from, like, or not Wisconsin, Minnesota, I think. Prince is from Minnesota, too.
Yep.
Bunch of, you know, something in that Great Lakes water. Lucy's from Jamestown, New York. But
oh, you got Axl Rose from Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Before he took the bus to L.A., and somebody said to him, "Do you know where you are? You're in the jungle." Yeah.
That was the first concert I ever went to.
Oh, really?
Actually the second. The first one was the Dead Milkmen.
Oh,
that was
nice.
Just a little local show.
Nice. Yeah. They're from Philly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So how long have you been a steel worker?
Be 24 years in November.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got hired right out of high school.
I'm in Pittsburgh, and we used to have a lot of those around here, but there's not many. There's not as many as there used to be.
Yeah, once Bethlehem went under, they closed a lot of that out there. We still have all our contract negotiations and everything still in Pittsburgh. It's a shell of what it once was.
Is that where you kind of got some of your chronic pain problems?
Kind of. Some of it was manual labor, but like I told you when we were messaging, just skateboarding, riding quads. I was doing 26-hour scenario paintball games for a while. Just lots of running, falling, jumping, hurting myself. When your dad says you're going to hurt when you get my age, well, he was right.
How old were you when you started skateboarding?
Oh, probably 12. Did like 12 to 17. And then I got a car and didn't have to skateboard anymore. I actually bought one about 10 years ago. Just to relive my youth, and I took it to a local skate park and dropped in on a quarter pipe and fell on my ass and decided I was much too old to even try to do that. So it's been sitting and waiting in the garage ever since.
And you said you're racing quads too?
Yeah.
That seems more dangerous than skating. I don't know. I'm not sure. I never did either, really.
Yeah, skateboarding, a lot more little bumps and bruises, but the quads definitely could hurt you worse if you did. But for some reason, that was a lot easier not to fall off of than the skateboard.
You know, it was funny. I was telling you, I know a lot of skaters, and I don't know how many listen to my podcast. And in fact, I know a lot of guys my age who still skate. Team Turd. Team Turd. That's what they call themselves now. They're in Pittsburgh. But hey, shout out to Team Turd. They probably never listened to my podcast, but I would think, you know, maybe Kratom would benefit some of these guys because they have a lot of bumps and bruises that going back from injuries when they started skating.
I totally, totally agree with that. If they're kind of against big pharma, like it seems like a lot of Kratom users are, I think just they're probably ignorant of even knowing about it. And if they did find out about it, they'd want it no problem and start taking it out. It's still illegal in, like, I don't know, you probably know more than I do, 6 states, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's 6,
but luckily it's not in Michigan. I've been up here for 5 or 6 years now and been taking Kratom for about 4 of those years.
So you got diagnosed with IBS and diverticulitis when you were in your late teens. What is that for people who don't know, and how did that come about as symptoms?
I don't know what they're called, polyps in your intestinal tract, and it gives you horrible stomach aches. It's basically, you feel like your insides are trying to come out.
Okay.
So it's a stomach ache times 10. Sorry, I got a mama dog who just had 8 puppies. So I'm trying to keep them quiet and do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I got diagnosed with that IBS, and after that, I've got partial complex seizures that I was diagnosed with a few years later. Degenerative disc disease that I've been told multiple times to get back surgery on, but I made a promise to my grandpa that I wouldn't do it because he had gotten a back surgery, and he just ended up calling the surgeons butchers to let you know.
Wow.
How that went for him. So it just, I've done everything except to get a surgery. I've gotten the epidurals and physical therapy, massages.
So, and then you also got diagnosed with degenerative disc disease. Was that related to the other diagnosis?
I just kept having back pain, and yeah. I've got good insurance, so that I went and got MRIs and X-rays, and they told me my S3, S4, and S5 discs are like wafer thin. And they want to, what are those, not stents, they want to put rods in my back or whatever to stabilize it.
Okay.
But that's looking at like a long time to get fixed and physical therapy, and I just can't miss that much work. And nobody that I know that really has had back surgery really ever gets better. It seems like they have to go back every few years and add another rod or another staple or fix this, fix that, and I'd just rather not do that.
You said you were on different seizure meds for the past 15 years, and I imagine you got prescribed opiates for you know, the pain that you must have
yeah.
from all that.
Like, got past my general practitioner, so I ended up going to a pain specialist, and back in Indiana, when I was doing that, you had to go every single month to get your drugs. You had to go there and basically say, yeah, I'm still feeling the same way. And then they give you your 120 Norcos every month. And I got tired of having to deal with that. And I don't know. I don't like the stigma of doing narcotics. I don't drink. I don't smoke weed. I really don't do anything. And I decided to try Kratome.
So how long were you on like the pain meds before you discovered Kratome?
A little over 8 years.
Okay. And would you say you were addicted to them, or was it just something you needed to deal with the pain and get up to go to work?
Oh, yeah, I was addicted to them. You do them for that long. It's 1,000 milligram Norco 6 times a day. I happened upon Chris Bell. He's some documentary guy. I was bored at work and was watching a documentary, and it was the Leap of Faith about Kratome. I saw that, and it piqued my interest. So I started researching more and finding out more about it. Decided to buy some one day, and that's been that.
So many people have used it to get off of opiates, and it seems to be a positive experience.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I'm very skeptical when I read things online. It's just one of those things, I don't believe people. And but you keep reading over and over again, this person stopped using opiates after taking Kratome. This person did. This person did. And I'm one of those people now. I'll take a teaspoon 3 to 4 times a day, and that's it. If I'm not hurting, I don't think about it, and I don't take that dose. If I am hurting, I take it. So much easier than being tied down to those pills and dance the dance to get them.
Yeah, so when you were on the pills, did you have to, like, you know, go outside of your prescribed amount to, you know, maybe get them from a friend or something like that? I mean, that's pretty common.
Honestly, 6 every day was enough for me.
Yeah, okay.
I was lucky. I didn't have to start seeking them out or doing any of that crazy stuff.
And what was the process like for you to go from the opiates to the kratom? Did you quit cold turkey, or did you introduce the kratom gradually and taper off from the opiates?
After I'd watched that documentary, I watched some other things by, I think it was Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia episode or something like that. And I just bought like a 30-day supply from some random company offline, and they came in, and I don't remember, it was like 2 every 4 hours, something like that. But I'd take them with the Norco for the first week or so, and after a week or 10 days, I just really didn't think about the Norco. It's like, I'm not hurting, I'm not thinking about that next dose, and so I made a conscious decision just to stop it. And so I stopped it, and that was it. There's no big freaking sweats or being sick or horrible withdrawals. It just stopped taking the pills.
So it was like a week or 10 days after you started taking kratom that you just completely stopped the Norcos.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty crazy.
I was, like I said, I was pretty skeptical about what they'd actually do, so I was just taking them both together, and once I found out what it could do, I just did that. Since that time, I've met other people in the kratom community and hooked up with someone who lives in Indonesia and can supply it, and so I'll hit him up at once every 3 or 4 months and buy some from him.
So was it just like a guy that emailed you or got with you on Twitter from Indonesia?
Yeah, it was somebody I knew from Twitter, one their supplier, so they hooked me up with him.
Oh, okay.
And it just kind of seems dicey to do trusting somebody with $50, $100, half a world away to honor what they're going to say, but I've ordered from this guy 4 times and no problem at all.
I think most of the kratom products are, you know, kratom, actual kratom. You know, they're not, obviously it works for you, so they're not selling you, you know, like dead leaves some that they raked up from their yard or something like that. There was just a study that came out that a lot of kratom has like lead and nickel in it because some of the grinders out there in Indonesia are old. And like some of the metal filings come off. I think the AKA is working with them to address that issue. So there's more. So what they're doing with the Consumer Protection Act is the vendors will actually have to test in order to legally sell it in the United States. They'll have to test for not only alcohol content, but you know, salmonella, and which can happen to any plant. It can happen to lettuce and onions.
Yeah.
Or they'll also test for this latest. It was just a case study they did from shops in Western Chicago, and it was just and the only thing they found, they didn't find any salmonella. The alkaloid content varied. Like some was higher, some was lower. And these 4 different companies or whatever they took from, but they did find a lot of like lead levels that would be not good for a person that takes a lot of kratom every single day.
I get he sends me the lab reports with every order I do. So
oh, really? Great.
I'll look for it specially.
Yeah.
See if I can find anything on that, and I'll shoot him an email after we get off. And
oh yeah, that's great.
If he's heard anything,
I mean,
like
if he has lab reports. I mean, I don't really know anybody from Indonesia or any. I don't really know anything about the import business from Indonesia at all, but I'm sure there are guys that are totally legit and have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
How do you just do toss and wash, or do you make tea out of it?
I'll put a teaspoon in, I don't know, a couple ounces of water, spin it, and toss it down the gullet real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to really get by. It's going to taste like crap. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard some people like the taste, but I've been taking it for a few years and I still don't like the taste.
No.
But
me
it
neither.
Works.
If it works, it works. Yeah. I do a tea. I do a tea and it.
I've never made the tea. How would you? What do you actually steep it with or do
we
differently?
We actually have a, I put a video on the website. I do two teaspoons in about 12 ounces of water. I boil it in an electric tea kettle, or you can just boil it on the stove. And then the water comes to boil, so it's not actually boiling in the water, but you pour the water that had just come to a boil into, I use a French press, and then I stir it up, and I let it steep for 30 minutes. And then I push the French press. I use Will Smith to make my tea. Yeah. No, I push the French press down.
He was from Philly.
Yeah, and I pour it out, and I pour the liquid out, and it's works good for me. And I usually mix in honey with it to make it taste a little better. So okay. It's just like steeping for 30 minutes. But
okay.
Yeah, there's a video up on our YouTube. Have you ever had any side effects with Kratom?
I buy it by the kilo, so I got like 500 grams. And for some reason, I seemed like I was angry after I took it.
Oh, really?
So I did like 3 or 4 times, and I was like, man, I'm in a bad mood. And that's the only thing I could think of. So I just went back to my Red Ming Dot, and that's the kind I stick with. I'm not going to. There's so many different strains and colors and stuff you can do, but I'm happy with the Red Ming done. That's what I go with.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting side effect. Has Kratom ever become severely addictive or turned into a bad habit?
I'd honestly like to not take anything for my pain, but that's not real life.
Yeah.
So, no, it's cheaper than prescription drugs. It's cheaper than weed. Plus side effects are, from what I'm aware of getting surgery for me. So I'm cool with doing it. Yeah, I don't see any real big problems.
Here's what I asked anybody that was addicted to opiates. Are opiate withdrawals anything like Kratom withdrawals?
No, not Kratom withdrawals. I mean, I don't even really know if I've experienced it at all, to be honest. I'm not hurting, I'm not taking it. I'm not sweating or having any weird side effects or anything like that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't really answer that any better. I guess I haven't experienced a Kratom withdrawal.
And you've been taking it for like 4 years, you said?
About 4 years.
And nothing really significant. Whereas a lot of people who are addicted to opiates tell me that withdrawals are like you'll get violently ill after a couple hours if you don't have opiates. Did you experience that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had gotten that before. It's just, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever. But it sucks. You sweat and you shake. You feel like you're going to freaking have your head explode. I don't know. Everybody deals with withdrawals differently, I guess. But I just basically tried to sleep it away. Like I said, when I started taking Kratom and just stopped taking the Norco, I didn't even have any noticeable withdrawals.
Have you had a doctor that you could talk to about taking Kratom, and what was their opinion, if so?
I see a nurse practitioner, I don't know, 3 times a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Rather than a doctor, and I've told her, but she honestly really didn't know anything about it. But she was happy that I wasn't taking narcotics. Even doctors don't really seem like they know too much about it.
Yeah, a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't yet, and hopefully we can change that.
I've had one doctor that wasn't mine. I just went with, it would have been my father, and I had mentioned it to him. And he was Southeast Asian sort of doctor, and he knew exactly what it was. And he was singing the virtues of it, or happy that a Westerner was actually using it.
But yeah.
My nurse practitioner, she's, I don't know, just a white woman who has never seen it before and doesn't know anything about it. So it seems like people that come from that area realize the benefits more. And it doesn't seem like my body it has its amount it's going to absorb. And if I take more, it's not going to absorb it any quicker. Or I haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go purposely seeking extra or putting tablespoons in or anything. But if it's a little bit more, I don't feel like crap. Or if it's a little bit less, I don't really notice anything different.
So do you still work in the, like, a steel mill? Or?
Yeah, I work just straight midnight.
Yeah.
Well, straight 10-hour shifts now. I'll actually be, once I get off the phone with you, leaving and heading there.
Does the Kratom help? Do you take it before your shift?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
I got a lot of repetitive movements with my job, so it helps my arm pain. Got a ulnar nerve problem, which has been bothering me more and more lately, and that it'll take it away and numb it out for a while.
That's cool. What do you actually do there?
Basically just measure and paint steel.
Yeah.
The steel that comes from the caster, it'll move on to the next spot, and they start chopping it down to the next size where the customer would want it.
Yeah.
It's an easy job I could teach a 10-year-old to do.
Yeah. Well, it's good that there's jobs still out there and they don't have a robot doing it. 'Cause I worked in a factory that made camshafts for about 3 years in North Carolina, and it's basically they take the big steel, they cut it into small steel, and it goes down the line.
Yep.
I worked in the storeroom, so it was like, we need this part. I can run in and fetch the part, so I didn't even have to know how to, you know, work on the line or anything. But I worked with this guy who was a robotics guy from England, this British guy, and he designed this robotic arm. And I worked alongside these old North Carolina guys that worked there for years. And he's like, yeah, that man designed a thing that took 4 jobs off of each line for, you know.
Yeah.
Within a 24-hour day factory. And it's like, I like that guy, but I don't know. It's like, you know, he's designing shit that puts people out of work. Yeah.
The ugly side of technology.
Yeah, really.
It's happening all over, yeah.
It's supposed to make our lives easier, but it, like, throws people out of work, too.
Yes.
But yeah. You want to say anything else about Kratom?
If you're on pain pills and you're sick of taking pain pills, just give it a try. You ain't got nothing to lose. You got, what, $50 to lose if you buy it? That's nothing. If it can get you off of taking those every single day, do it.
Thank you so much, Rod the Steelworker from Michigan. The music is Risey. The song is called Memories of Thailand. The Kratom Science Podcast is written and produced by me, Ryan Gallagher, for KratomScience.com. Take care.